Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about these resources, please visit sbcconline.org. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. We thank you for making it possible for us to assemble again this morning to come and share your word according to you. Forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Lord God, we thank you for your word that you have sent and that you sent a gift to us, that it will build us up and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified, strengthening and enabling us to overcome all the challenges of these end times. Father, as we share your word this morning, I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present here, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow, Father, freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause all our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in the prayer in their individual lives, agreed individually and said, Amen. We are going to continue our study this morning in Romans chapter 5. In our last lesson, we looked through verses 1 through 11. And this morning, we are going to continue from verse 11. In verses 1 through 11, basically, what we concluded there was that through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have access to the life of God and ultimately the glory of God. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, you know, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by this faith into this grace. I give us the key words of the New Testament. Everybody say faith, grace, and life. Well, if you understand those three things, you really understand the New Testament and its operation. Our faith in God gives us access to the grace of God, which is the favor of God, which gives us access to the life of God. You cannot earn the life of God. There is nothing you can do to make you worthy to earn the life of God. It's the very thing that is inside God that makes God God. So in order that the promise might be sure to all the seed, God made it available through grace, by faith. He didn't make it available through ability or what a person can do. One person would have had an advantage over another. And in fact, there's nothing any of us can do anyway that can enable us to earn the life of God. Now, there's a great truth here I don't think I mentioned last time, which I want to mention. You see, that's where grace, the issue of grace, what I'm about to say comes in, because grace is favor. It's favor, you know, that God gives to people. And where it differs from individual to individual is in the measure of the life that God gives. God give life to everybody in Jesus Christ if you come in the name of Christ. But the measure you receive will be determined by the measure of the grace of God that is available to you, the favor that you have. And you know what controls that thing? It's so simple, yet it is so profound. Humility. That's why whenever when you look at Christianity, you find that it always comes back to the heart. There are two things that are determining and will continue to determine your divine destiny. Honesty and humility of heart. They will never change. When God sees an honest heart, you know, he shows the person mercy. you know, which is really life also, but it's from the outside. When he sees a humble heart, he gives grace, you know, and then the more humble the heart, the greater the measure of grace, the greater the measure of life. And that's what makes a difference between one Christian and another. You find two Christians, you know, hear the same Bible, you know, say the same thing, pray the same prayer, and one guy excels and the other guy doesn't, you know, or one excels more than the other. When it comes down to it, it's the heart that determines the measure of grace, you know, which in turn determines the measure of life, which in turn determines the measure of power, and which in turn determines, you know, what actually happens, you know. And that's why, you know, this, the Bible says this about Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. You know, even though he was God, he humbled himself, even though he was one of the three persons of the Godhead originally, but he stripped himself of all those privileges, and he took upon himself the form of a man and was a servant, you know, to his original compatriots, if you can use that expression, equals. The Bible says he was equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He made himself unequal, if you can call it like that, you know, by becoming a man. But the point I want to make here is the Bible says he grew in grace. He says, and the child was filled with the wisdom of God, and he grew in grace. The Lord himself, he went through this process, you know, over the years, as he was, you know, from a young boy, you know, in his teenage years, he was growing in grace. And the measure of the life of God that was available to him continued to increase until we see him operating what we now call the Spirit without measure. It's the same route, folks. And we all need to do that. And then the second thing here is the glory of God. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what we are all hoping for, you know, or should be hoping for. And when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the glory of God, not just in the world to come or at the resurrection, but as I shared last week, the transformation of the physical body. Ultimately, the goal of our faith, the terminus, if you like, of our faith, you know, here on earth, is for our physical bodies to be transformed, not resurrected, transformed so that the divine nature now totally dominates not only our spirit, not only our soul, but our physical body. And we're going to see that later on today in my second part of the message on, you know, Christians, disciples, and sons, manifested sons, so that the life of God is made manifest in the mortal body, and it can then transmit the power of God on a consistent basis. And that's what you see in the mystery of Jesus. You see the woman with the issue of blood touching him, and power flowing without him even exercising any faith. It wasn't that Jesus saw the woman and said, okay, you're healed, you know, which he did many times. But in this case, Jesus even had nothing to do with it. Well, he had something to do with it. What I mean is, he didn't initiate anything. He didn't do anything. It was power that was resident and available for somebody to tap into if they activated their faith. And that's what that woman did. Now, you and I need to grow to that place spiritually where that same power will be resident in our physical bodies. And when people contact us by faith, we're going to look at more of that later on, you know, or come in contact with us by faith, power will flow into them for healing, deliverance, whatever it is, just like it did with the woman issue of blood. And we're going to see a lot of that in this end time. Hallelujah. Not only men, women, you know, boys, girls, you know, you go to the shop, somebody just touches you and they get healed. Praise the Lord. You know, and I'm talking about things like cancer and, you know, spectacular things with the hands who grow out, you know, without you even trying to do it. Simply because of the power that is now the measure, the power of the Spirit without measure that is now available to humanity because you made yourself a sacrifice, you know, so that it's now in your physical body and can now have physical effect in the people around you, in your environment, what I call also your sphere of influence. So those were the two things we looked at in our last lesson, basically, you know, having access to the grace of God, life of God, and then, you know, in hope of the glory of God. And we saw that you get it by patience, you know, patience, exercise of faith. It says, we glory in tribulations also, not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, hope. We explained all of that, you know, and our hope will not be disappointed because of God's love for us. You know, God loved us before we got born again as sinners, and that love saved us. Now that we are reconciled with God, if we were saved by the death of Jesus Christ when we were enemies, when we're sinners, how much more now will we be saved by the life of Jesus Christ when we are no longer enemies and we are now children of God? It's a great truth. When you understand how much God loves us, your hope as a Christian will be strong and bright, and you will know it will not be disappointed. God will not disappoint us. Amen. He will not put us here. It says, he will, you know, hope maketh not ashamed. You know, it really means that you won't be ashamed of your hope. You're hoping for something and then it doesn't come to pass, and then people start to make fun of you. Oh, look at what you are believing, and nothing happened. No, God will not allow us to be ashamed. His love for us will not allow it. So he's going to go out of his way to make sure that our hopes are realized. You know, and the way all that works is by operating in faith, you know, patience, and then the Bible says, you know, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So you receive the promise. Then when you get the answer to one level of prayer, then it gives you hope for another level. And it's a continuous thing. It's a continuous thing. That's why it says from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. So I go from one level of faith, I get an answer, then it gives me hope for a higher level of faith, then I exercise faith again, then I get the answer, then it gives me a higher level of faith, and so on and so forth. And that's how a Christian, until finally I get the ultimate goal of my faith, which is transformation of my physical body. Ha! Glory to God. Amen. And so we saw all of that. So today, let's start from verse 12. And the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, wherefore, he's explaining our redemption in Christ. And these portions of scripture, particularly these last, these verses up to verse 21, which is really about 9 verses, you know, really explains the new birth and Christianity, which if it wasn't there, you know, we really would not understand what we're doing. And it is sad and true that many Christians don't understand this, what we're about to read now. They don't understand it properly. And that's why they keep living lives that they don't even know, you know, understand that this experience we have is actually what the Bible says it is. It's a birth. It is a new birth. It's not a conversion per se, or just trying to live your life in a different kind of way. It produces that effect, but fundamentally and foundationally, it's a new birth. And he's going to explain what happened here. So let's read verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He explains here that the way sin came into the world was not by the transgressions of many people. It was by transgression of one person, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. And by that transgression, death, spiritual death, separation from God, came and it reigned over all men. You don't have a choice in the matter. If you're a human being born of a woman, you automatically inherit that sin nature and the death that follows it. Now, the good news is that it's the same thing is true of righteousness. Now let's read it. I'm getting ahead of myself. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. What he means by that is that until the law was given formally, it was always there. We know it today now as the law of conscience. The law, don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery. Those laws have always been there. You know, but however, when God gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai, you know, on what we call the first literal Pentecost, you know, he formalized it. It became formally written to humanity through the Jewish race. They were the custodians of the law, but it wasn't only meant for the Jews, it was meant for everybody. You know, that these are the laws of God. From that point on, even though there was sin before, sin was now imputed in the sense that it was now recorded in man's records in heaven against the former law that had just been, as it were, instituted. The law was always there, but the sin was not imputed until the law was formalized. And so men are going to be judged now based on that former law that has now been put into the earth. So he says, sin is not imputed where there is no law. So in verse 14, he says, nevertheless, even though sin was not imputed, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned out of the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. What Paul is saying here is that even though the sin was not recorded, you know, in the records of men, the effect of it was still devastating, and it was death. So death reigned. I like this word. When I was preparing this morning and praying, waiting on the Lord, he gave me this word, dominated. Death dominated, both spiritual death and physical death, dominated human experience from the time of Adam. From Adam to Moses, it reigned. That word, the word reign, means it dominated. Sin and death have been dominating all through the millennia, from the time of the creation, the fall of Adam, up till the time of Moses and even beyond. That's what we need to understand. These are spiritual realities. Because of Adam's sin, sin came, and then death by sin. You know, death is the consequence of sin, which is separation from God, and the devastating effects of it. Everything, all the evil we see on earth today is a consequence of this. Be it sickness, be it disease, you know, be it poverty, violence, wars, anarchy, you know, terrible climatic and geographic conditions. They're all a consequence of Adam's sin and the separation between man and God. I did a detailed thing on this on last Wednesday, you know, when Jesus passed this man and the man was born blind. And they asked, they said, who sinned? And Jesus said, it's not this man who sinned, it's not his parents. Of course his parents sinned. And of course the man too sinned, because we're all sinners. But if that was true, then all of us would have been born blind. No, it was the sin of Adam that opened the door to spiritual death that was reigning over humanity. And this, that man, you know, he the effect of it on him and on his family, you know, was so devastating that he was born blind. Now, thank God that doesn't happen to everybody. But I want to, you know, there's a truth here I want you to understand that many Christians don't understand. And when you understand this, you will take this word out of your vocabulary. Luck. There is no such thing. Substitute it with mercy. Why wasn't I born blind? Why weren't you born blind? It's not because our parents were better than the parents of this boy. It's the mercy of God. The Bible says the whole earth is full of his mercy. But even that mercy, you know, it has limitations, you know, depending on where a person was born. It's like a statistical thing, you know. We know this in manufacturing. I'm just using it as a natural illustration to explain spiritual truth. You know, not because of God, but because of Satan. And God can do a lot of things, but another thing people don't understand, childish understanding of God, oh, God can just do anything. No. God can only do some within the context, within the limitations of His Word. He's not limited in power, but He's limited by legality, by legal access. And because the earth had been given to Satan, to Adam, Adam legally transferred the lease of the earth to Satan. So Satan is the one that has the legal control, should I say had, until Jesus came, of the earth. Therefore, because Jesus has taken that legal control back. But guess what? God didn't keep it for 24 hours. He gave it back to man. So now it's actually in our hands. And what we do or don't do depends on what, you know, whether we give Satan access or not. And many times we do give him access through, you know, omission. When you don't exercise authority, you don't even know you have authority. Or when you know you don't exercise it, then he's like an outlaw, you know, who uses power, the power that he has, to try and overcome legal power that we have. We have the legal power, but if we don't use our weapons and the weapons of our warfare, we don't put on our armor, then he's able to do a lot of havoc. That's why we still see him doing a lot of things that he ought not to be able to do if we were, you know, using the authority and the power that God had given us. So you need to understand, when you understand these things, you begin to understand a lot of things. You know, the Bible says the earth has he given to the sons of men. So because of that, it's like in a factory, when you make a car or you make some equipment or something, if you do 1,000, you will find maybe about 5 of them will be defective. That's why they have to go through what we call quality control. Spiritually, the same thing. God's mercy is on the earth, and He uses that mercy to cover as many people as He can, you know, given the legal operations of the honesty of the hearts of men and all of that. And you now find that you have cases like this man who was born blind in John chapter 9 that come out like that. Not because it's the will of God, but because of Satan's influence. And that's why Jesus answered that question. He said, it's not the man that was sinned. It's not the man who sinned. It's not his parents that sinned. He said, but that the work of God may be made manifest through him. Now, it doesn't mean God made him blind so that God could clearly, and that doesn't make any sense. What he's saying is that what I'm going to do now to heal this man is in contrast to what Satan did to make him born blind. The person that got him born blind was Satan, through man's sin nature and the reign of the dominion of death over humanity. The fact that we have the great majority of men born normally on the earth today is God's mercy. Give the Lord a clap offering. If Satan had his way, all of us would be born blind. But thank God he doesn't have his way, you know, all the time, you know, to that degree. God is able to block, you know, through honesty of heart, through prayer. You know, that's why righteousness on the earth has such a great effect. The Bible says that, you know, sin is a reproach to any people. He said, but righteousness exalts a nation. Even what is happening in our circumstances, the economy, you know, health care, education, all of those things are being affected by the degree of the degree of righteousness of the people in that particular nation and the amount of access that God has through the honesty of their hearts to release, you know, sufficient mercy to be able to cover a lot of things. People don't understand this. They just think, you know, God can just do anything. That's going to come. That's when, during the millennium, when Satan is finally bound, then there'll be not even any amount of death and sin and all of that. You know, children will be able to play with lions and put their hands inside a snake. Nothing will happen to them because all the sin and death has been removed. But we haven't got there yet. But while we're still here, we can simulate the millennial conditions. The Bible calls it tasting of the powers of the age to come. Through walking in the Spirit, prayer life, causing the life of God to reign, to dominate through us. We won't have it universally, but in our sphere of influence, we can actually dominate satanic death and sin. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, not playing church. And that's what Paul is actually trying to explain to us here, you know, about how these things operate. It was because of Adam's sin that death reigned. But through Jesus Christ now, God has been able to reverse that. Let's read on. He said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. In other words, they did not disobey a specific commandment from God. Adam disobeyed a specific commandment from God. So, but people are still suffering, even though they didn't do that. That it's a consequence of their physical birth. I wrote something in my notes here, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. You're born in sin and shaping iniquity by natural birth. Yeah, it's not by what you did. You did not disobey any transgression. You did not disobey any of God's laws. You didn't sin like Adam sinned, who was given a specific commandment. You inherited it by natural birth. So we are not sinners because of what you do. You're a sinner by birth. And there's only one way God can change that condition, by getting you born again. That's the root understanding of the new birth. The problem came by natural birth. The solution comes by spiritual birth. Give the Lord a clap offering. Not as the offense, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, I say one, many be dead. Let me correct that, all be dead. That's really, you know, what Paul was just talking, you know, everybody. You know, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, I will say one again, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. This is a legal argument. This, you need to study this thing. I'm teaching it now. Go back home, listen to this thing so that you get it. Once you get it, it will set you free. Hello, somebody. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Give the Lord a clap offering. Woo! This stuff is good. For if by one man's offense death reigned or dominated by one, Adam, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift, understand, is a gift, is not a reward. You can't earn it. The gift of right standing, that's what it really is, shall reign in Zoe, or life, by one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under the justification of life. Give the Apostle Paul a super clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank God for Paul. Thank God. All right, who understand these things? God had to get a man like Paul and give him revelation knowledge, and then got him to pen it down, so we can understand what happened and what we have. We're not done yet. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Everyone say made sinners. Say made sinners. Say, made sinners. You see, you don't become a sinner by what you do. You're made that way when you're born. Because you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the sin nature is passed across through the bloodline. That was why the Lord Jesus Christ had to be born of a virgin. If you don't understand this, you understand. That's why the virgin birth is fundamental to our Christian faith. Anything that denies the virgin birth of Jesus Christ and his deity is not of God. Because that's the key to our redemption. Now he says, if by one man's offense many were made sinners, even so by the obedience of one shall many be what? Made, everyone say, made righteous. Just like you were not made a sinner by doing anything, you are not made righteous by doing anything. You were made a sinner by physical birth. You are made righteous by spiritual birth. Is it clear? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, glory to God, grace did much more abound. I need to try and explain that as best as I can. You see, before the law was given, sin was always there. But when the law was now formalized, and it now became clear what was right and what was wrong by the formal giving of the law to Moses, then we now saw that there were so many bad things. Sin abounded. And you know, that's something about the sin nature. When you don't give it a law, it's still doing bad things, but you know, it's at a particular level. But immediately a law comes, it increases the amount of bad things that it does, because it always wants to do something contrary to God's nature. Take little children, for example. Just take little children, maybe around 5 years old, six, you know. If you don't say, don't sit here, sometimes they will sit there, sometimes they won't sit there. The minute you say, nobody must sit here, then that seat now becomes attractive. There is something inside man, it's the sin nature, that sin revives. It always wants to do what is contrary to God's law. When the law is not given formally, it's still there, but it's not as active. But once law comes, it becomes much more active. But the good news is, through Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and grace. When you receive grace, that's why I explained at the beginning, grace gives access to Zoe, the life of God. When you receive grace in sufficient measure, no matter how much sin is abounding, the measure of the life of God and the power of God that you're getting through grace can always supersede the sin. That is why sin will not have dominion over you. Abundant grace far outstrips abounding sin. Oh, glory be to God. That as sin hath reigned unto death. I didn't hear you. You see, sin is what gives death its dominion. Why? Because sin separates us from God. Sin blocks our fellowship with God. So the life of God and the power of God cannot flow. Therefore, death, the effect of sin, dominates. Sin hath reigned unto death. Even so, might grace reign through righteousness or right standing unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Just like sin causes death to reign, right standing causes life to reign. And when life is reigning, it will totally obliterate death. You see, you have to understand this topic is so crucial. You have to understand these truths, that death is really the absence of life. Just like darkness is actually the absence of light. The initiative is never with death. It's never with darkness. It's with light. The only way darkness can increase is if you remove light. If you've seen it happen before, you know, like in this hall, for example, maybe we're watching a movie, maybe if it's in the night and the windows are blocked and all of that. When we switch on all the lights, everybody can see properly. Now, just dim it, don't switch it off completely. Just dim it a little bit, the darkness will increase. Isn't that right? Dim it more, you know, and you still have some light, but more and more darkness. So the darkness is only determined by the measure of light. So it is, watch this. So it is with sin. So it is with death. The amount of death is only determined by the amount of life. The less life, the more death. The more life, the less death. And that's true of righteousness too. The more righteousness, the less sin. The less righteousness, the more sin. What is God trying to tell us? He's telling us that the initiative is with us. Satan doesn't have to be able to do all the things he's doing. If you and I will take our place and release life, release righteousness in sufficient measure, we can completely obliterate death. Are you listening to me? I got some lovely scriptures here that I would like to, you know, when I was preparing this, God just gave me some very little things, you know. I mentioned one or two of them, but I'm going to give you some scripture for it. You see, in verses 15 to 16, what God is telling us is that one man's sin caused death to come upon all men. By one man's disobedience, sin came upon all men. The reverse logic. By one man's obedience and his righteousness, then life came to all men. See, just like I had nothing to do by inheriting death from my mother's womb, I was born in sin and I was shaping iniquity. I had nothing to do to inherit righteousness through Jesus Christ. That's why works is stupidity. Trying to be righteous by works betrays a fundamental lack of understanding of the legal basis of our redemption. When you begin to understand that these things are not based on what somebody did or didn't do, it was the way they were born. Natural birth, I got it here, made us sinners. Spiritual birth makes us righteous. I'm not righteous because I did this or I did that. I'm righteous because I'm born that way. Are you listening to me? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is a great scripture. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, it's in verse 24. I love this. You know, E.W. Kenyon, by the grace of God, God used him to elucidate, bring these truths out. You know, and then people like Kenneth Hagin picked it up and expatiated it over the years. And by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, people like myself, you know, and others, you know, have also tried to emphasize it. It's sad. These things are not really emphasized in the body because they're not understood. You don't find a lot of emphasis on them. Look at what he says. He said, that you put on the new man. That was a new man. Say, where did he come from? Turn to your neighbor. Say, where did he come from? By new birth. Say, new man. Watch what he said about him. Which after God, you can put like God. Because he's made in the image and the likeness of God. He's created. Turn to your neighbor. Say, that new man is created. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's not a mental ascent. It's a literal spiritual creation. It's not a conversion. per se. These are great truths. It's not trying to change your behavior and wearing a new type of cloth, you know, and not using perfume or not using, you know, using perfume or using lipstick or not using lipstick. Yeah, all those things are external things. It's a new birth, a new creature. Hallelujah. And watch how he's created. He's created in what? Righteousness and what? True holiness. He's already righteous. It's already holy. That's where you throw out that scripture, you know, where they try and bring people to bondage. You know, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. Of course, without the new birth, you can't see God. He's not talking about if you don't do this or you don't do that. If that was it, nobody is going to see God. Is there a place for holiness and righteousness? Of course there is. And good works, yes. That's going to determine your reward as far as, you know, your position in heaven and in eternity and all of that is going to concern. That's important. But as far as going to heaven is concerned, this is what gets you there. Created in righteousness and true holiness. So the guy already has holiness, so he will see the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Now, I'm trying to put it all together. Adam was one man. He sinned in the Garden of Eden. When he sinned, he got separated from God. Death, the consequence of his sin, and all the other things, sickness, you know, poverty, ignorance, hatred, famine, wars, all of those things are a consequence of death, separation from God. God gave me this understanding some years ago. Satan cannot create anything. You need to understand that. He can only distort what God has created. So God gave me this understanding. If you take water, you know, if you take spring water is clean because it's gone through all the filtration in the earth and all of that, and it's coming out of, you know, so long as it's flowing properly and it's connected to the source, that water remains clean. However, if you cut off the source, the water from its source, and the water goes into a place where it becomes stagnant, and it is no longer moving because it's no longer connected to the spring that is causing, you know, the spring source of the water, what's going to happen is that after some time, that water will start getting polluted. It starts getting amoeba and algae and all kinds of things. You know, what is actually happening? Let's talk physics and chemistry now. What is actually happening is that the water, the basic molecules, which are hydrogen and oxygen and all of that, are now being distorted and polluted by other contaminants. So the water now becomes corrupted. It now becomes, you know, stagnant. And if you drink it now, it's gonna affect you, make you sick. Spiritually, it's the same thing. When Satan was still with God, he was connected to the source. So long as you're connected to the source and the life of God is flowing, no problem. But once you sin and there is a block between the created being and God, that life of God that was originally in the person, because it is no longer connected to the source, it now becomes stagnated. And then it now becomes corrupted. That is what death is. Death is corrupted life. So where it should have brought health, it brings sickness. Where it should bring wisdom, it brings foolishness. You know, and all the other effects is everything comes as a consequence of man's separation from God. When you understand that, you begin to understand a lot of things. So one man brought sin and consequently death and all the other things. Good news. A second man, also a man. He had to become a man. That was why Jesus had to become a man. He couldn't just drop down from heaven as God. He had to come through the womb just like all of us. You know, but his mommy the Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary, you know, was a virgin. So the sin nature that would have been passed through the bloodline was not passed through. The egg in her womb was fertilized by the Word of God. So that holy thing that was born in her was called the Son of God. Now this one man, instead of disobeying God like Adam did, obeyed God. And by obeying God, he now made available to you and I access to the life of God. So just like you become a sinner by natural birth, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you now become righteous by spiritual birth. Just like sin and death reigned through Adam's sin, righteousness and life reigns through Jesus Christ. So if you will go to Jesus, receive his blood to cleanse you from sin, the sin substance that will block your fellowship with God and your connection with God, and you have a restoration of access to the life of God, you can use that righteousness. Ever say righteousness and life? Ever say sin and death? They're opposites. The opposite of sin is righteousness. The opposite of death is life. So through sin, death comes. But through righteousness, life comes. But what makes you righteous is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So through the disobedience of Adam, you inherit sin and death. But through the obedience of Jesus, you inherit righteousness and life. Is it clear? Now, if you keep allowing that, if you maintain that flow, that's why we need to cleanse ourselves with the blood of Jesus. No wonder why he said in Hebrews chapter 13, you know, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Working in you that which is, you know, working and willing in you that which is good pleasure. If you will allow the life of God to continue to flow through the constant cleansing of the blood of Jesus, that's where our faith in Christ comes in. Then the life of God can flow in greater and greater measures and give us greater and greater dominion over death, sickness, disease, poverty, all the terrible things we see on the earth today. And I got to close. That is what God is trying to teach us in what we're teaching on perfection and what we call the manifestation of sons of God. What are we trying to do? We're leveraging the obedience of Christ to overcome the effects of the disobedience of Adam. That's why Jesus, Adam is called the first Adam, Jesus called the last Adam. Adam was a figure of him that was to come. Jesus, everything Adam did, Jesus Christ has reversed it. That's why you can now understand so many things become clear when this becomes clear to you. It is this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. You can't get it anywhere else. The only thing that can reverse the effect of Adam's sin and death in the Garden of Eden is the sacrifice of Jesus that gives you now his blood, that will now make you righteous and gives you access to Zoe, this divine life that can reverse those things. Religion won't do it. Good intentions will not do it. Human effort and sacrifice will not do it. You know why? It's already all been tainted by death. There is nothing you can do now that is not tainted by death. That is why all your righteousness, if you like, wear this and don't wear that. You know, if you like, paint this and don't paint it. If you like, do this and don't do it. There is nothing you can do in the physical that can make you in right standing with God. You know why? It's automatically tainted because you already have sin inside you. That is why all your righteousness will be like filthy rags in the sight of God. The only thing that can give you access now to the life of God is the blood of Jesus that removes the sin block and the sin nature and then gives you access to the life of God. makes you righteous, right stand, puts you in right standing with God, so you can now access the life of God. With that life now, you can now begin, I like what Paul said, begin to reign. You begin to dominate. What are you dominating? You dominate sin. You dominate sickness. You dominate disease. You dominate ignorance. You dominate poverty. You dominate, you know, bad physical conditions. You know, bad climate, bad geography, everything. Because everything we see on earth today, all the evil, all the corruption we see on earth today is a consequence of this original fundamental sin of Adam, which Jesus Christ has reversed. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus, help us. It takes revelation, folks. It takes understanding. It takes revelation. That's what Paul was, you know, explaining to us in this wonderful book of Romans. So by one man, sin came and death came to all men. By one man, righteousness came and life came to all men. So everybody has access now to the life of God through the sacrifice of Jesus. Just like everybody had access to death through the disobedience of Adam. And both of them is by birth. One is by physical birth. The second one is by spiritual birth. Hence, the Lord said, except you be born again, you have no life in you. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Ask the Lord to open your eyes and give you understanding concerning these things. No wonder why the Apostle Paul said, the gospel I preach, he said, I wasn't taught it by man. He said, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. These things, I've told you what they are, but you need an inner revelation. You need the Holy Spirit to make it clear to you. And if you don't understand spiritual things, you won't understand what we're talking about. Because all you will see is the physical. You just see your body. You see the problem you're having. You will not understand that in the root of these physical problems is spiritual in origin. And it came right way back from the Garden of Eden. And God now changed it, the whole thing, through the birth of Jesus Christ. Then his death, his burial, and his resurrection on the cross. All those things are spiritual things. It takes revelation to see it. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory. Let it be said.
Let it be said of me.
My source.
My source of strength.
Hallelujah.
My source of hope.
My source of hope
is Christ
alone.
In Him alone. In Christ alone. There's no other way.
In Christ alone.
I place my trust.
How
glory to God. And find my glory.
And find my glory.
In the power of the cross. In every victory. Glory to God.
In every victory.
Let it be said of me.
Let it be said of me.
My source. Glory to God. One more time. In Christ alone. The alone is critical.
Place my trust in my glory, find my glory in the power of the Lord.
In every victory,
in every victory,
let it be said, in every victory, glory to God. Put one hand on your heart, raise the other one. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. The entrance of your word giveth light and gives understanding. Oh Lord, open my eyes. Give me fresh revelation about these things. Help me to see that my righteousness, my right standing comes by birth and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, not by anything I can do. But with that righteousness, I now have access to your life and power that now I'm able to do anything. For your word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That in Christ alone, that I have strength. In Christ alone, I have ability. In Christ alone, I have victory. Father, thank you. Help me to see this. Oh Lord, teach it to me afresh. Lord, Holy Spirit, open my understanding. Help me to understand that death and sin came by one man's disobedience, Adam. Righteousness and life has come by one man's obedience, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Christ alone, I am righteous. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your mercies. Father, thank you for your mercies. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. You see, these great truths, it's one thing to say it. It's one thing to say it, and it's important that we say it like we're doing, we're teaching it. But you know what's going to change the world? When we demonstrate it. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing. I've said a lot of nice things. They're logical. They're legal. Great. But all that won't change men. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but by demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That is why we need the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what's going to move. We're going to bring billions into the kingdom. Because people are not just going to hear words. They're going to see demonstration. Then they'll say, yes, that Jesus is actually alive. And that righteousness is actually true. And it's actually dealing with death. They will see the dead raised. They will see blind eyes open. They will see withered hands grow out. They'll say, aha, it's true. Let's give a Lord a clap offering.
Terrific.
let it be said of me,
my soul.
My source of glory
is Christ the Lord.
Is Christ the Lord.
Thank you. Believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.